Everyone, the reading this morning is Philip takes us through a passage in Philippians chapter 1, and it's on page 245 of the New Testament, starting at verse 9 and through to 26. I pray that your love will keep on growing more and more, together with true knowledge and perfect judgment, so that you will be able to choose what is best. Then you will be free from all impurity and blame on the day of Christ. Your lives will be filled with the truly good qualities which only Jesus Christ can produce for the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, my brothers, that the things that have happened to me have really helped the progress of the gospel. As a result, the whole palace guard and all the others here know that I am in prison because I am a servant of Christ. And my being in prison has given most of the brothers more confidence in the Lord so that they grow bolder all the time to preach the message fearlessly. Of course, some of them preach Christ because they are jealous and quarrelsome, but others from genuine goodwill. These do so from love because they know that God has given me the work of defending the gospel. The others do not proclaim Christ sincerely, but from a spirit of selfish ambition. They think that they will make more trouble for me while I am in prison. It doesn't matter. I am happy about it. So long as Christ is preached in every way possible, whether from wrong or right motives. And I will continue to be happy because I know that by means of your prayers and the help which comes from the Spirit of Jesus Christ, I shall be set free. My deep desire and hope is that I shall never fail in my duty, but that at all times, and especially just now, I shall be full of courage, so that with my whole being I shall bring honour to Christ, whether I die or live. For what is life? To me it is Christ. Death then will bring more. But if by continuing to live I can do more worthwhile work, then I am not sure which I should choose. I am pulled in two directions. I want very much to leave this life and be with Christ, which is a far better thing. But for your sake, it is much more important that I remain alive. I am sure of this, and so I know that I will stay. I will stay on with you all to add to your progress and joy in the faith, so that when I am with you again, you will have even more reason to be proud of me in your life in union with Christ Jesus.
Thanks, Miriam, and thanks, Darren, for that prayer. Just before I start on Philippians, I want to let you know of a little celebration that I have today. Don't want a chocolate, of course, but it's 45 years since I was born again. So that's a celebration for me. And I have another one, but I'm going to share that later. Philippians chapter 1. I'm just going to give you a little brief overview first off. Philippi gets its name from Philip II, who was the father of Alexander the Great. The city of Philippi was a Roman colony in Macedonia, situated on the crossroads of some major trade routes in the southeast corner of Europe. And this is now the northern part of present-day Greece. Philippi was a thriving city, according to one account, of approximately 1.5 million, which enjoyed a privileged status like Ephesus with its own praetorium. Praetorium being a... it's got a number of meanings, actually, but one was to do with the palace of the Roman Empire, having a palace, another to having a military outpost of Rome. And so these were quite significant, as that's thus why it enjoyed a privileged status as a city. It also had a school of medicine from which Dr. Luke, the gospel writer, may have received his training. Paul had established the first church in Europe here in Philippi with the help of Timothy in AD 51, and Dr. Luke was its pastor for the first 6 years, probably why it came to be so highly regarded among the believers and certainly remain in the heart of Paul. Highly regarded because Paul had nothing negative or no rebuke to speak of to the Philippians, whereas to many of the other church, in the church letters that he wrote, there were rebukes and other such things. So approximately 10 years later, Paul has been blessed with an offering of money from the Philippian church. The church that he was beginning to wonder whether they still thought of him, let alone prayed for him or took up an offering for him. Epaphroditus has arrived from faraway Philippi with an offering, having almost lost his life on the journey. No one has bothered to text Paul of the impending visit. Everyone awake?
Yes.
Once recovered, Paul sends Epaphroditus back to Philippi with this letter. A letter expressing his love for each and every one of them. A letter expressing gratitude for the monetary gift that probably enabled Paul to live a slightly more dignified existence than he would otherwise be enduring while imprisoned. And a letter that informed them that because of the gift, they were now sharing in his work for the kingdom. Their monetary gift gave them buy-in to the work of Paul's for the kingdom. I'm just going to look back on... In fact, I'm going to go over these scriptures from the NIV. So, and then just do a little bit of exegesis or some comments on each. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This fruit of righteousness, when I think of the fruits of the Spirit, I'm guessing that that's what he's talking about. And a number of years ago, I wrote a poem to help me remember the fruits of the Spirit. So I'm just going to share this with you. And I'm also going to share another poem that I shared a few weeks ago, which covers some of the same points, but I'll come to that in a moment. I want to thank you for your patience with this fickle soul. Your goodness follows all my days, sharing it's my goal. Faithfulness like Abraham's, Lord, it pleases you. In humility, I seek to serve and be like you were too. Come in and grant me self-control, Holy Spirit, I pray. Your peace that passes understanding's needed in this day. They know not what they do, my Lord. May kindness here prevail. Though dark the hour and bleak the world, your joy, it doesn't fail. Finally, these three remain, faith and hope and love, but the greatest, love, came dwelt with us, your gift from up above. So that's from Galatians 5:22, and the other one that some of you would have just heard a week or two back concerns the whatsoevers that Paul speaks of just further on in Philippians. Give praise and honour wherever due. In all your ways be just and true, humbly noble and simply pure. With kindness and love you will endure, reflecting always these in mind, the eternal kingdom road you'll find. So those are just some helps that I've put in place for my own benefit, but you're welcome to a copy if you wanted one. Come and see me later. So going back to Philippians now, and reading from verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Paul has been obedient to God, preached the gospel, angered some of the people who have reacted to him similarly to those who reacted to Jesus and who wanted him silenced. The same is being asked of us. And no doubt there'll be some opposition, but nothing compared to the life-threatening situations faced by the martyrs down through the centuries and on to, into the present day behind the Iron Curtain. And just speaking of the Iron Curtain, I've got another thing to share here. I'm going to put this out in the foyer later on. It's headed up, and it was in the paper earlier in the week. Missionary found fame smuggling Bibles across the Iron Curtain in a V-dub Beetle. And here it is, Brother Andrew, for those who don't know Brother Andrew. I'm just going to read a little couple of excerpts from that. In 1957, Anne Vanderbilt, a Dutch missionary known as Brother Andrew, travelled to Moscow in a battered blue Volkswagen Beetle. Although religious belief was actively persecuted in the Soviet Union, piled on his back seat were dozens of copies of the Bible. It was the start of what would become a decade-long mission to smuggle Bibles across the Iron Curtain. Declaring on visa applications that his occupation was teacher, Brother Andrew, who has died at the age of 94, really found himself denied official permission. When he reached border patrols, his car overflowing with Bibles and tracts, he would mutter a prayer under his breath, "Lord, who made blind eyes see, now make seeing eyes blind." Time and again, customs officers waved him onwards with a cheery greeting. And just one little one at the bottom now. Over the years, he received many honours, but the one of which he was most proud, however, came after the fall of the Iron Curtain, and he obtained copies of the KGB reports about his work in the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. He was surprised that they had known so much about him, but had been unable to stop his work. Missionary and praying. Two things that we need to think more about, aren't they? Well, I believe so. In fact, it was raised with me when we had our shared lunch. I and Geraldine got to share lunch last time with David and Sue Cripps across the road. And David expressed an interest in getting together a missionary group to go out to one of the Pacific Islands sometime, maybe Rarotonga even. But in my mind, I had Tonga because of the devastation that nation has seen in the near past. So that's something that we can talk about more at session, and if anyone's really wanting to spearhead a little mission group going somewhere, raise your hand, please. Not right now, but thanks, Louis. What God asks of us pales in comparison with the apostles and their martyrdom. The harvest remains plentiful and ripe for the picking, in what is becoming a harvest choked with weeds, the weeds being antichrist lies like evolution, addictions, poverty, wars, homelessness, diseases, pestilence, global warming effects. We've heard them all before, haven't we? Here in New Zealand, we could just close our eyes and ears to these realities, as many do, but that's not what we've been called to do. Such bowls of plagues were poured out on Egypt prior to Moses leading out Israel across the Red Sea, headed for the Promised Land. And this foreshadowing may well be what we are beginning to see happening globally now. We, however, are part of God's chosen people, the ecclesia, the called out ones, and the possessors of the gospel, the good news of God's salvation. We have been told repeatedly to fear not. We have been told repeatedly to pray, to give thanks, to love even our enemies, and to rejoice and rejoice again. Paul's words of joy and rejoice, in fact, recur 17 times by my count from Strong's Concordance through Philippians 1-4. 17 times. If we can be fearless, loving, joyful, and praying, and couple this with two instructions from Jesus before his ascension, to feed his sheep, and also to go into all the world, make disciples of all nations and baptize them, etc., then we'll be fully armored and ready for those that God might bring across our path, whether that be in prison, in the church foyer, the workplace, or roaming on the walkway. Philippians 1:15-18. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Sorry, I want to go across to Mark chapter 9. I was meaning to find this before the service, but I forgot. Mark chapter 9. Verses 38-41. Teacher, said John, we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop, because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said. No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. I just wanted to read that because it just tied in so closely with what Paul had also stated about others with a word concerning the gospel. My thoughts regarding that are that in the latter days, we're going to see the real truth come into such places as the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. But I certainly don't believe that they're on the right path at the present time. But they still take the love of God out to the world. And I guess from what I've just read, that that's the heart of the issue. Just want to come back to Philippians 1, verse 19 now. Almost lost my page, but I've been in it for so long, it's well marked. 119. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. There have been people praying for me since I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And I want to give thanks to them for their faithfulness and perseverance in prayer. For those who don't know the details, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer in September 2019. And a couple of weeks later, I was operated on, prostate removed, along with 17 lymph nodes on one side of my groin, 11 from the other. The biopsy taken prior to surgery had revealed a moderately aggressive cancer, a 4 to 5 out of 10. However, the histology on the prostate gland and lymph nodes showed invasion on 4 of the nodes. And so the aggression was raised to 9 out of 10. By this stage, though, I've got to mention the Sunday service that I attended, and some of you have heard this story, but it's to God's glory, and so I want to repeat it. The Sunday service that I attended after the diagnosis was made, we sang our usual three songs, and the first one had me really quite joyful because I felt God speaking to me personally, saying, "You are going to be okay, you're going to see some healing." And so I was quite elated by that. However, I'm one who likes confirmations from the Lord, a doubter. And I didn't pray anything more concerning that, but the second song that we sung, once again, it spoke to me, and I was just even more elated. And you probably guessed the rest. The third song, God spoke to me again in a way that I've never heard him speak to me through a song before. And I'm not sure. That morning I might have called out a hallelujah because, you know, I do that occasionally. And that's how it's remained, that rejoicing and that joy has remained. And I've always, as a Christian, known God's joy, even through the years where I backslid and was on the marijuana. I could still be joyful about my place in the kingdom. But, I was just going a little bit off beam and recognise that now. So, still praising the Lord. Philippians 1:20-26. We're getting to the real heart of the issue now. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. I must say that when Richard approached me to speak on one of the chapters of Philippians, I was thinking that chapter 4 would be good. But before I even had time to speak, he then said, "How about chapter 1? I'm such a pushover at times, and other times I like a challenge. So I said yes. When I came to verses 15 to 26, as we've just read, I could see God's hand in the background and how this all so closely related to my experience. I can rejoice in how he spoke to me through each of the three songs on that Sunday morning. And I can rejoice that in a scripture picked for me to share on, I can so closely relate to a subject we don't particularly like to contemplate, death. I'm not so sure I would feel like Paul did if I was 20, 30 or 40 something. And conversely, when I was in these age brackets, I remember hearing of the odd person who had just retired only to die soon after. And I thought, how sad. I turned 65 on the 1st of November 2019, just 2 to 3 weeks after my prostatectomy. But God had already given me an assurance. Not that I was going to be fully healed from the cancer, because I recall the lyrics having some sort of ambiguity. And, you know, I wish I could have remembered or written those songs down so that I could actually relate the parts that God spoke to me through. But it left me wondering about, but knowing he had spoken to me and we were hand in hand, come what may. It simply left me rejoicing, and again I say rejoicing. This whole experience has, in the words of Paul from verse 14, been an encouragement to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. And it staggers me. Paul thought his letters to the various churches that he had helped establish were for their encouragement only. It's hard to imagine what his astonishment might be to learn that his letters became a big part of the New Testament, of God's inspired word, and the biggest selling book in history. And, you know, it just reminded me of the faith the size of a mustard seed and what God can do for our prayers. So, you probably guess what my other celebration is. I went for a blood test 3 weeks ago and finally got around to phoning Tilly's husband, Dr. Jeff Putt, his nurse, for the results. It took me about 3 weeks. It wasn't because I was fearful or anything. I was too busy. Too busy. I had my colleague at work away, so I was doing two jobs and I was running around with like a headless chook, frankly. And then also preparing a sermon, thinking about Philippians 1. But I finally got around to it because I thought it would be nice to be able to share something if I got a good test result this morning. So on Friday I phoned, and yes, the PSA, which is the indicator for cancer presence, is still undetectable. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I hope you've got as much as I did out of this chapter. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord, for this special and privileged time together. Help us to appreciate the freedom we enjoy in this land and the privilege we have to come before you and make our requests known. Help us to put some urgency into sharing your gospel, but also into meeting basic needs of the poverty-stricken in our community, that we might be sure that God, who began this good work in us, will carry it on until it is finished on the day of Christ Jesus. Amen.